Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky. Montana Talks.
Oh, this is funny. I'm checking some of the messages here. Sorry, I'm a little late getting to some of your messages. I went to refill my cup of coffee. I was like, oh, I got a message from Tim and Savage here. So 1 hour ago, I opened up the show by pointing out how the EPA, again, another NBC Montana story here, the EPA is canceling a $20 million grant awarded to Butte for a what they're calling a resiliency hub. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I think of resiliency is about like learning how to be tough, figuring out how to be tough, mental toughness, mental fitness. If Butte is anything, Butte is tough. Butte does not need $20 million from the federal government to be taught how to be tough. That was my initial read. But anyway, then I talked more about that story in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. But I was saying, wait a minute, community resilience hubs, they need a hub for the community in Butte. I was like, man, if Butte has anything, it's got a whole bunch of community resilience hubs. And then Tim and Savage says, yeah, Butte is well known for their community resilience pubs in Butte. But anyway, let's see, what else do we got here? Oh, this one came in from Bruce in Ennis. How did we get to talking about Anchorman? Oh, yeah, we started talking about the movie Anchorman because loud noises. The Washington Post wins a Pulitzer Prize after downplaying the Trump assassination attempt as loud noises. Yeah, they won a Pulitzer Prize for their coverage as they downplayed the assassination attempt on Donald J. Trump. That's a story at thefederalist.com. But I was giving our producer, Caden, a little bit of guff. A great young man doing a great job for us. But I said, Caden, please tell me you've seen the movie Anchorman. I mean, I feel old as it is already here. Bruce in Ennis says this. Good morning, Caden. Don't worry, I am 60 years old and I still haven't seen Anchorman or Step Brothers or any Office series. You haven't seen Step Brothers, Bruce? You haven't watched The Office at all? Man, Bruce, we gotta build a community resilience hub in Ennis. Now, we'll tell the federal governments for climate change or something like that. But really, it's just going to be a movie theater so that Bruce and Ennis can watch all those movies. You haven't seen Step Brothers? So, like, when I tell you that the reason why I'm so sweaty is because I was watching Cops, you won't even get the reference. When I throw out a Don't Touch My Drum Set reference, you don't even get that. Man, Bruce, I feel bad for you, brother. Man, we got to come build a community resilience hub in Butte to help you out. Got to do it. Okay. Man, this is like the morning of random starts here. So then I was talking about how I like coffee in a paper cup. To me, coffee just tastes better in a paper cup than a mug. I don't know why. A paper cup of coffee tastes better than a ceramic mug with coffee in it. Are you guys the same way? I guess it depends on the mug. So, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but that's the thing. Governor Greg Gianforte vetoes a bill. Pinkies up, and he's got his styrofoam cup. Wait till you hear this audio clip coming up right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lingering clouds and some shower activity in portions of the area into the first half of the day today. High temperatures otherwise rebound to about 50 degrees to the upper 40s around the region. For tonight with partly cloudy skies. Overnight lows from the mid to upper 30s. And then we'll see mainly sunny skies Wednesday with highs in the 70s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
60 Minutes does not back down, despite parent company Paramount trying to settle Trump's $20 billion lawsuit so this company can be sold. 60 Minutes did a pretty tough piece Sunday night, narrated by Scott Pelley, and said almost nobody would come on camera. One exception, Mark Elias, the top lawyer for Hillary's campaign in 2016. He says, when Donald Trump says I'm unethical or I'm undermining his vision of America, I say I must be doing something right. A senior partner at one firm said the president's orders were diabolical. Now, Elias was asked, are you worried about retaliation? And he said, I'd be an idiot if I wasn't somewhat worried. Meanwhile, Pelley noted that Trump is the only president who's a convicted felon and is carrying out a personal vendetta. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, lots to talk about now. You know, hey, speaking of movie references, we were talking about Anchorman and Step Brothers, and Bruce and Ennis was talking about the TV series The Office as well. Man, she looks like Cruella DeVille. I'm not trying to be mean. Her outfit looks like Cruella DeVille. That's the mean lady on the 101 Dalmatians, right? The Democrat Party shared a photo of Kamala Harris. She was at, you know, the big party for the elites in New York City, the Met Gala. Or is it Gala? Gala, Gala. And they said this, the Democrat Party sent this out via X. Kamala Harris stuns at the Met Gala. And she's got like, it's like a mostly black dress, but then it has like a slash of white down the side of it. And I was like, holy cow, it's like a Cruella DeVille dress that she wore to the Met Gala. Vita Duffy Alfonso. A young conservative writer. She's actually the daughter of Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy and then the Fox and Friends weekend host, Rachel Campos Duffy. But Vita said this, border czar Kamala Harris is sipping champagne and partying the night away at the Met Gala while New York City bodega owners are being told to install panic buttons. And trendy Aragua teens are robbing people at gunpoint and assaulting cops. The same elites who destroyed New York are toasting themselves tonight while the city burns around them. Dystopian. Great tweet there by Evita Duffy Alfonso. Yeah, it looks like she's wearing Kamala is wearing a Cruella DeVille outfit on there. Okay, back to the Montana news. This is, a veto by Governor Greg Gianforte. You guys remember hearing about there was a bill to ban styrofoam. Remember when Bozeman had the plastic ban? They wanted to ban plastic bags, plastic straws, and that got shot down. That got shot down eventually, but... But everybody was just like, what are you guys doing? Look, if you don't want plastic bags, if you don't want plastic straws, then don't use them. Don't grab them. Don't buy them. But, like, why was the government dictating to people what they should and should not purchase with this regard? And so then there was a bill in the Montana legislature, a bill to ban styrofoam. And a lot of people were scratching their heads because there were some Republicans that voted for it. And they were like, why are you guys voting for something like that? I mean, you know, we've been mocking the Democrats for years now about their Californication of banning straws and banning plastic bags. And then you guys go and jump on the bandwagon for another ban. But unfortunately, that was one of the frustrating things about this legislative session is you'd get a handful of Republicans that would vote with the Democrats, and I think this was a Democrat lawmaker who had this bill, a bill to ban styrofoam that somehow got through the legislature. But the governor issued a veto yesterday. He had a video of himself with a styrofoam cup with the word veto printed on the side of that styrofoam cup.
A bill just came to my desk that bans styrofoam containers for food and drinks in Montana. This bill would create a new government program costing taxpayers $300,000. It would also force higher costs on 7,500 Montana restaurants and businesses, as well as consumers. The state banning styrofoam is costly government overreach. And like many Montanans, I enjoy hot coffee in a styrofoam cup because it keeps it hot. And this bill is a hot mess.
Ah, the old styrofoam cup. Can you just see the big orange Gatorade cooler next to your kid's soccer team with the styrofoam cups out there? I like my coffee in a paper cup. Now, Caden disagrees. See, it's okay to disagree around here. We can all have honest conversations. We can have adult conversations without democracy and trying to throw people off the bridge in Missoula, right? Caden says, the fact that you like a paper cup for your coffee, that's crazy talk. What about when the paper cup gets soggy? You just get another paper cup? See, that's the beauty of the paper cup, is it's a renewable resource. Our timber industry, our loggers, that's another reason why we got to make the timber industry in Montana great again, and make the timber industry in America great again. It's a renewable resource. Here's the deal. You cut the tree down, the trees grow back. It's a remarkable thing. Absolutely remarkable thing. The one thing I like about the styrofoam cups, though, is I like when you're drinking out of a styrofoam cup and then you bite down on the styrofoam cup and just leave teeth marks. I don't know. For some reason, it's the simple things in life that makes you, that you find enjoyment in. And there's just something that is enjoyable about leaving bite marks in a styrofoam cup. So if there's any reason not to support a ban on styrofoam, that's the reason right there, if you ask me. Okay, let's see. What should we talk about next? I know we got Jeff Manasseh with Fox News Radio joining. Caden says, okay, Grandpa, time to go have a nap. That's right. Oh, man. We got Jeff Manasseh from Fox News Radio joining us here in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about this self-deportation plan coming out of the Trump White House. We talked about that in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. Jeff Manasseh with Fox News Radio is going to join us to talk about more. Speaking of Grandpa Joe Biden, did you guys hear? He was going to the White House staff apparently had a secret plan when Joe Biden was president. They were going to give him a cognitive test, but they weren't going to tell him about it because they knew they were lying to the American people. They were covering up Joe Biden's obvious cognitive decline. And so they were going to give him a cognitive test behind closed doors without the then president of the United States even knowing about it. But they said, oh, we better hold off on that plan. Wow. My goodness. It's a crazy story.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There are a lot of good reasons to cut tax rates, and they go far beyond the political benefits to those who advocate for them. All taxes distort behavior to some degree, causing businesses and households to buy less, invest less, hire less, and produce less. Lowering tax rates reduces those distortions, which is good. But cutting tax rates almost always results in less tax revenue, especially for broad-based taxes like income or sales taxes. It's surprising to me to find many who push back on this. Yet the experience of Montana's personal income tax rate changes in the last 2 years shows this quite clearly. For each of the last two fiscal years, the most recent of which ended last June, Montana's personal income tax receipts have been stagnant, actually falling by almost 6% in fiscal year 23. This compares to double-digit percentage growth in the previous 2 years. There are plenty of reasons beyond tax rate changes, but there's little doubt that cutting the rate to the highest tax bracket played an important role in causing this outcome. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. Tomatoes distributed by a South Carolina-based company are being recalled over bacteria contamination concerns. The Food and Drug Administration says the Williams Farms Repack Company recalled various size weights, layered packaging, loose end trays of tomatoes sent to sellers in Georgia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. The FDA says the recall comes amid concerns that tomatoes may be contaminated with salmonella. The tomatoes were distributed between April 23rd and April 28th. The recalled tomatoes were labeled under either Williams Farms Repack or H&C Farms brand names. The FDA says consumers who bought the tomatoes should return them to the place of purchase for a full refund or throw them out. No illnesses reported so far. For a list of sizes and lot codes, See the Food and Drug Administration recall site for Williams Farms Repack. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House call for health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordland.
I've seen a lot of cattle and met outstanding people from across the globe this week participating in the World Angus Forum in Australia. And it's not just the current generation of Angus producers here this week. The next generation of the Angus industry is competing in the Youth Angus Contest Competition. One of those is representing Team USA from the Big Sky State, being Miss Claire Stevenson.
The World Angus Forum Youth Contest consists of multiple different events, everything from livestock judging to fitting, showing. We just got done with a debate where we were in the finals, luckily, and we have a variety of other little modules that we've been a part of, such as bush mechanics, where we did some irrigation. We did some precision farming math. We reversed a trailer, back to the trailer, through an obstacle course with a manual, which in a bumper pole, which is a bit difficult for us Americans, but we got it done. Really just a lot of different things. That's just kind of the big ones that we've been a part of, but they've been keeping us busy, that's for sure. Not much sleep.
Youth contest teams are comprised of four individuals aged 18 to 25, all competing for the top honor of the World Angus Forum Youth Contest Championship. They'll be crowned later this week. I'm Wayne Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Oh, good. And important news here from Jeff Manasso with Fox News Radio. But first coffee. Before we get to the big news of the day here, Jeff, ceramic mug, paper cup, styrofoam cup. Sounds like none of the above for you, huh?
No, it's got to be metal, and it's got to have a little lid on it. You know, a couple of famous brands out there rolling around right now that do that, and that's what I've got. Yeah,
I do like
paper is the last resort thing for me.
See, I like the paper cup, but I'm definitely with you on the metal that keeps it hotter, like the Arctic and the Yeti ones as well. So I'm with you on that front as well. All right, well, the big news of the day, of course, is this voluntary self-deportation program to get these millions of illegal aliens out of the country. Jeff Manasso, what stands out to you?
You know, there's a lot of pundits out there saying, where are we going to get the money? Where's the Trump administration going to, how are they going to pay for this? And you know, they're going to bill the taxpayers to be able to do this. Well, it's actually saving taxpayers a ton of money, and we'll get into that here in a sec, but the Department of Homeland Security is calling it a historic opportunity for illegal immigrants to receive both financial and travel assistance to facilitate travel back to their home country through this CBP Home app. This is the former CBP One app that the Biden administration used so people in various different countries could download it, sign up. They'd have a plane waiting for them to sneak into the country. In the dead of night, no biometrics, no information on them. Here you go. You're free to come in the country. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they are. So what DHS is saying is that any illegal immigrant who uses the CBP Home app to self-deport, they're going to get a plane ticket. They're also going to get a stipend of $1,000. And that's going to be paid after their return to their home country, according to DHS. Once their self-deportation has been confirmed through the app. So perhaps there's some sort of tracking abilities. And so DHS calls the self-deportation a dignified way to leave the U.S. and to allow illegals to avoid being encountered by immigration and customs enforcement. Even the cost of the stipend is projected that the use of the CBP Home app will decrease the cost of deportation by about 70%. So currently, the average cost to arrest, detain, and remove an illegal immigrant is $17,121 versus the $1,000 stipend and the plane ticket. And so we've already heard some success stories. According to DHS, they say people have been using it. The latest, a guy here in Chicago used it. and self-deported back to Honduras and got his $1,000 check. And they also say that tickets have already been booked for this week and for the following week of illegals using the CBP Home app, and so they're gone. The message from DHS is that, you know, if you're here illegally, self-deportation is the best, safest, and most cost-effective way to leave the U.S. to avoid arrest. Also, there's another incentive. If you really want to come back here, you can. You have to get in line like legal immigrants do. But if we find you and arrest you and then have to deport you, then those opportunities to come back into the U.S. are gone for life.
Yeah, so there's an incentive to leave the right way, to leave the legal way, but there's also a disincentive if you stay the illegal way. I like what Stephen Miller had to say on X. He said the choice facing illegals is A, leave now and get a free flight plus an exit bonus. Two, refuse to leave and face a fine of $1,000 daily, prosecution and imprisonment, forfeiture of all assets, garnishment of all wages, confiscation of all property, deportation whenever and wherever we choose. So it's kind of the Trump team is basically saying we can do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way. You tell us.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jeff Manasso, Fox News Radio, any other big stories you're covering here today? I know you're always on top of it.
Yeah, I'm covering that that story out of Ohio. There's a court hearing for the man who hit and killed a police officer last week, a day after his son was shot and killed by police. His son was arrested. His son was found in a stolen car, had a gun in his hand. He was shot. I covered the press conference yesterday of the family, and it was something different than we normally see, where this family was not blaming anybody. They were not looking for revenge. They were seeking forgiveness for all involved and praying for the officers. It was pretty heartwarming to see.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, what a tragic story there. And just another reminder to pray for all the men and women in law enforcement in particular that are out there on the streets for us today and every day. All right, Jeff Manasso, Fox News Radio. Appreciate what you do. Thanks for being with us right here on Montana Talks. Speaking of Fox News Radio, we'll get to your Fox News update right now. Then we'll be back with you here in 60 seconds. We've got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. In fact, I'll go check those messages right now. There, you guys could probably hear me laughing a little bit in the background as I went to check the messages on the Montana Talks app. Chris in Billings responding to this story about the Washington Post winning a Pulitzer Prize after they downplayed the Trump assassination attempt as loud noises. Chris in Billings says the Pulitzer Prize has become a participation trophy, but only when you participate in the coup attempt against President Trump, right, Chris? I mean, that's the only time it becomes a participation trophy. I mean, we are participating in the news right now, but we will never get a Pulitzer Prize for telling the truth here on Montana Talks. You have to participate in the coup attempt against the President of the United States in order to get the Pulitzer Prize participation trophy. You have to attack America. You have to hate America. You have to call America a fundamentally racist nation. You have to participate in that anti-American garbage if you want to get the Pulitzer Participation Trophy these days. And then there were a couple of other funny messages that came in. Tim in Savage, he's outraged. Aaron, I can't believe you drink coffee from a paper cup. What a waste. What do you think, paper grows on trees? Think on that one for a second. Some of the young liberals are like, I don't get it. What does that mean? Tim's right. Paper doesn't grow on trees. Okay, just go back to MSNBC for a little while. You and Chris Matthews can figure out, you know, what are you going to do? Just make lumber in America again? Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do. Because paper coffee cups grow on trees. Let's see. We had one from Evan and Belt. Where did that one go here? Let me scroll down here. Evan and Belt. He's got an idea for a community resilience hub as well. Oh, okay. Here we go. Evan and Belt. Yeah, I was talking about how the EPA has now cut a $20 million grant that was handed to Butte by the outgoing Biden administration to build a community resilience hub, which was just a genius move by our friends in Butte. Yeah, just tell them it's going to help with climate change, and you can basically get a new civic center. Oh, this is our climate resilience hub. Oh, we'll throw some solar panels on the roof. We're helping with climate change. Give us $20 million for a civic center. Why didn't the folks in Billings say, hey, a hockey arena, climate change, $20 million from the EPA for a hockey arena, right? Evan and Belt says, being the same age as Bruce and Ennis, I haven't seen those movies either. So Evan and Belt, Evan, you're an Air Force veteran, and you haven't watched Anchorman or Step Brothers. We got to send you on another deployment. Anyway, Evan and Belt says this, I wonder if the government could build one of those resiliency centers in Belt. We don't have much building area around town, though, and I doubt the Little Belt Cowboys Association will give up the rodeo arena. See, Evan, you got to call the rodeo arena your resilience hub. Helping with climate change. It's outdoors, solar powered.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, great. I see we've got our friend Jeremy Carl on the phone lines from Bozeman right now. Yeah, I shot him an email earlier this morning. I said, hey, we got some time slots available. You want to jump in on the conversation this morning? Always great to get Jeremy Carl's insight on what's going on in the news. He's a senior fellow at the Claremont Institute, but lives right here in Montana. Jeremy, thanks for calling in this morning. Great to have you on the show.
Great to be on, Aaron. Good to talk with you.
If I didn't see you on the phone lines, I was going to play a clip from John Kerry, the climate alarmist in chief. Back in 2016, Daniel Turner wrote this. Daniel Turner does a great job covering the climate alarmist. Back in 2016, John Kerry visited Antarctica and called it ground zero for climate change. Jeremy, I'm sure you've seen this story. Today, Antarctica is gaining 108 gigatons of ice per year. The ground zero for climate change is not losing ice. It's actually gaining ice, a lot of ice. What's your thoughts, Jeremy?
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of these things. I mean, I worked on this issue for a decade and a half, so I know it pretty well. And, you know, there are things going on, but there's a difference between, you know, whether the climate is changing and the degree of control we have over that. And I think even sort of more importantly, the motivations of the people who want to put a bunch of restrictions on us as a result. And the kind of the more you look at that, the more it just kind of turns into a bunch of feel good stuff for the left that doesn't really end up helping anybody. And so that's more than reason enough to be skeptical about it.
Well, speaking of ice, let's talk to one of the topics that I know you and I were thinking of covering here this morning, President Trump's immigration policy. We just heard from Jeff Manasso with Fox News Radio about this self-deportation plan that the Trump administration is pushing. Your thoughts on that or any of the other latest developments?
That was a great transition from ice to ice, Aaron. I have to send it to you.
Dad jokes come in handy. It's a benefit when you're on the radio.
I think this is really, really interesting. I had proposed them doing something like this, and I'm sure they'd sort of thought of it on their own without reference to me. In fact, I'd love to see it, frankly, bumped up even a little bit higher as more motivation, because the reality is these guys are costing us a lot more than $1,000 per year or whatever. But I think you need both carrots and sticks in your immigration policy. I think we're making the stick really, really clear, but I think we also need to make the carrot clear so that because self-deportation is going to happen a lot quicker than we can, as we're learning, sadly, mass deport people given this Biden judiciary. So tell, you know, what you want to do is say, look, if you head out on your own and you're gone and we confirm you're gone, there can be a little bit no harm, no foul. We might let you visit again legally as long as we're certain you're not going to, you know, stay indefinitely. We're not going to fine you and take away your property, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I think that'll maybe rub some people the wrong way. It'll be like, well, you're rewarding illegal immigration. No, you know, I think what we're doing is we're making the best of a bad situation, and we're saying anything we can do to get these people out of the country, whether we're deporting them or they're deporting themselves, that's worth quite a bit to us as a society, and so you need to kind of have both ends of that equation.
Yeah, that's right. I remember I go back to last summer. We did a statewide tour talking border security with AFP Montana, and we had a retired Border Patrol Chief Chris Klemm, who for the first 100 days of the Trump administration was working with Secretary RFK Jr. at HHS to try to help track down all these missing kids from the Biden administration's open borders policies. But you know, that's one of the things he talked about last year, is you got to have a carrot and a stick approach. And because, you know, because people were saying, OK, let's say Trump gets elected, how do we get rid of these, you know, 10 million, 15 million, who knows how many illegal aliens that were funneled into this country? And exactly what he laid out back then is basically what seems to be playing out right now, which is, okay, you go after the most hardened of the criminals first, the rapists, the murderers, the drug dealers, the violent offenders, et cetera, and then you go after the rest. But you've also got to have, the self-deportation angle. The criticism I could see is, okay, well, if we give these people a free, you know, flight home, they're just going to fly back and break into the country illegally again. Well, no, now we've actually secured our border to where they can't just sneak right on back in.
Yeah, that's right. And beyond that, I mean, it costs a lot more than $1,000 to, if you're going to be smuggled in, even under any circumstances. I mean, that's why these guys end up working for the cartels and slave labor in any sense. But again, you know, my goal is not to, I don't care whether, I mean, look, punishing folks for breaking the law, look, that's great, but my number one goal is to get people who are not here legally out of the country. And if I can do that and punish them at the same time, great, but if I have to do that without punishing them, that's also fine. The main goal is to get them out, and I think this helps us accomplish that.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, by the way, you are in Bozeman, Montana. Did you see how your Gallatin County attorney, the Democrat Gallatin County attorney, is basically obstructing ICE, standing in the way of ICE and trying to block a deal that would allow ICE to use some bed space in the county jail?
Yeah, no, this is right. And when the Attorney General Knudsen was here speaking to a group of folks in Gallatin County just a month ago, he kind of mentioned this bed space issue as one of the real impediments. And that, you know, we catch these guys and we don't have anywhere to put them, and that's very much by design, again, from the lawless Biden administration having raised a bunch of standards to require you to achieve all these things before you can store illegal aliens in the county jail. And so basically what it happens is that, like, all these prisons are no longer eligible. So it's very intentional that they're breaking the law. It's very intentional that the Gallatin County sheriff is obstructing. And look, I mean, we can't...
Well, the sheriff is I don't know if that was a slip there, but the sheriff is actually working on this, trying to make this happen.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean the sheriff.
The county attorney, yeah. Gotcha.
The county attorney, yeah, no, thank you. The sheriff's a good guy who I've met. It's a problem, and, I don't know. We can't continue to exist in society where, you know, half the electorate, or at least half the elected officials, seem bent on subverting the law. I mean, something has to break, and I want it to be them and not us. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's the question, is how could we go about holding that Gallatin County attorney accountable, withholding state funds, withholding federal funds? Sure. What else? Right. Apparently, I still need to read it here. I think I'm going to give it a quick read during the next break here. But apparently, she put out a very interesting legal opinion that contains a lot of histrionics in it. So I can't wait to give that a quick look here. But really, I mean, man, look at all the headlines of all the crimes of illegal aliens just in Bozeman alone.
No, absolutely. You recently had these guys sentenced to 25 years, so illegals for a stabbing in Bozeman. And I'm kind of two minds about that. I mean, one, of course, I'm glad that we're putting those folks in jail. But the other part of me is, like, why can't we just deport them? Why do we have to pay for it? I mean, and they should be going to prison wherever they're from. But it's just sort of a damned if you do, damned if you don't type situation. And a huge percentage of our crime here in Gallatin County is being caused by illegals.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, I also want to get Jeremy's take on the Montana legislative session, because I know he's frustrated. I know we're all frustrated. And we've been talking a lot about the legislature, but we haven't gotten Jeremy Carl's take on that topic yet. So, Jeremy, can you stick around through our next break? I got to take a break here in just a second, but do you want to join us till the end of the hour?
Absolutely happy to.
Perfect. Okay, great. Well, stand by. We'll get Jeremy's take on the legislative session. We did see a veto out of the governor, which is good news. Let me tell you about some other good news, man. This weekend, I'm thinking about pulling my boat out this weekend because, man, it's going to be like sunny and 80 plus degrees in parts of the state. So I can't wait to get out on the water. Some of you are thinking, man, I'd love to get out on the water too, but I don't have a boat yet. Or I'd love to get out camping, but I don't have a camper. And it's just more fun when you have a camper going camping, if you ask me. Well, I'll tell you what, go see our friends at Brett's RV and Marine. They've got the largest selection of RVs and boats in five states. Plus, they're family-owned and operated. In fact, my wife went to school with the Brett's boys in high school and said they're just a great family, great people that work on their team as well. I always go see Wes down at the parts department. He knows everything about these boats and campers if you ever have a question. But yeah, check them out. New location in Butte, plus Brett's RV and Marine in Billings and Missoula. Check them out so you can get out on the water too.
Your gut affects everything, even your mood. So Ollie created two brand new products to take care of your insides. Ollie Big Ten Probiotic has 10 strains of probiotics, their most ever, to support a healthy gut microbiome, immune system, and stress response. And Ollie Super Good Superfoods delivers 15 superfoods in tasty gummy form. Find them at Ollie.com and exclusively at Walmart.
Ollie!
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Fox News commentary.
The left took a break from mocking the Christian faith to get really upset about President Trump posting a meme. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Benjamin Hall, Fox News senior correspondent and New York Times best-selling author, and I'm searching for heroes. Every Monday, I'll speak with a few silent but noteworthy heroes, everyday people who illuminate stories of compassion and are true embodiments of heroism. Make sure you subscribe to my podcast, Searching for Heroes with Benjamin Hall, wherever you download podcasts. And please leave a rating and a review.
The leftists who routinely mock religion, God, Christians, and all of our traditions, beliefs, and ideals are now suddenly so offended President Trump posted a meme of himself as the Pope. The outrage is really rich, coming from the segment of the population that cheers abortion, declared last Easter Trans Visibility Day, endorses Pride Nights with drag queens dressed to degrade the crucifixion of Christ and the Last Supper, so spare me your outrage. But once again, President Trump is trolling them all. Does he really think he's going to be the next Pope? Good Lord, really? No. He posted it to make liberal heads explode and to unveil the blatant hypocrisy and selective outrage of the left. The left is offended by memes, and meanwhile, I'm offended that illegal aliens keep murdering, stabbing, and assaulting American citizens. So yeah, I guess we are not the same. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lingering clouds and some shower activity in portions of the area into the first half of the day today. High temperatures otherwise rebound to about 50 degrees to the upper 40s around the region. for tonight with partly cloudy skies. Overnight lows from the mid to upper 30s, and then we'll see mainly sunny skies Wednesday with highs in the 70s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Tuesday edition, Clay and Buck will break down the absolute latest as we continue to count up into the next 100 days. What's the latest on tariffs? What's the latest on the battle over immigration? And what is going on with the big, beautiful bill working its way through Congress? We'll be joined by Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky to help break all that down and more. It'll be the Tuesday edition. Clay and Buck.
Your News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home.
Start saving today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I think people were very pleased to see Governor Greg Gianforte veto that bill, the ban on styrofoam bill, and he had a little bit of fun with it in the video, and I think a lot of people were happy to see that, even some of the folks who've been critical of the governor on social media in the past, and I think the reason people were so happy to see that video is because not only did he have some fun with it for banning a California-style ban on styrofoam, but also because hopefully that's a sign of some vetoes that will be coming when it comes to the massive spending that got pushed across the finish line in the legislative session. Jeremy Carl, I know you've been just as frustrated as the rest of us with this handful of Republicans voting with Democrats.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I mean, I think this is the thing that's going to finally, I do stuff mostly nationally, but I think this may finally get me off the fence to really start getting more involved in state politics, because it's just been intensely frustrating to watch this level of failure. And I don't think we should normalize it. I mean, this is not a question of, a few Republicans, they're a little more moderate and they dissented on a few issues because they just don't agree and they're representing their constituents. No, I mean, that's maybe what the regime media is trying to sell you. But first of all, virtually all these guys are from deep red districts because they have the Democrats gerrymandered the legislature to make it that way. But even if they weren't, these are people who, these legislators who voted with the Democrats on how you organize the legislature. And that's the most fundamental thing in terms of what team are you on. And these legislators have shown they're on Team Democrat, and we need to get rid of every single one of them without exception, and that needs to be the number one priority, as far as I'm concerned, for the party going forward. Heads need to roll here, or otherwise we're never going to get change.
Yeah, I saw there was a New York Times story that's out. In Montana, a rare sight, Republicans and Democrats. And, look, I don't pay for the New York Times, so I couldn't read the story, but my assumption here is that, oh, let's glorify the Republicans for voting with the Democrats to undermine the red state majority. But that story would have a totally different vibe if a handful of Democrats did the same thing. Now, I admit it, I haven't seen the story, but that's just my prediction that that's what that story does.
Yeah, no, that's right. I do, as a professional risk, I have to subscribe to the failing New York Times. I don't pay too much for it, unfortunately. But yeah, that's basically what it was. And of course, it would never be done that way or the other way. And anytime any of the mainstream media, including the liberal media of this state, is saying anything nice about Republicans, I mean, that should be a five alarm fire, one time in 100, it's because the Republican actually did something good, but the rest of the time, it's just that they've completely bent the knee to the left. And again, it's just what just happened is a disaster. We handed the GOP a record win in this state, and a lot of our legislators just seemed determined to squander it. And I'm going to be looking very closely to see whether we hand out the sorts of consequences that will deter this type of behavior in the future.
I think this time enough people are outraged, and it goes beyond just your county central committees, and it goes beyond just your primary election, and it goes into, you know, the broad Republican electorate that is frustrated and angered by what's been taking place.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you just don't need to be paying that close attention to be looking at this legislature and being like, this isn't what I voted for. And so let's hope that that attitude shows up at the ballot box, and we really, we really change course in the way that we need to quite badly.
Yeah, you'll have to go back and listen to it if you haven't, but I've got a story on our Montana Talks website about a 19-year-old weighing in on the May Day protest last week, and he mentions a similar point that, look, the young people pushed back against this woke gender ideology nonsense, but these young people voted Republican, and if the Republicans want them to stick around, they've got to prove that they're going to get the job done, that they're going to do what they said they would when they ran for office. All right, Jeremy Carl, great to have you on the show as always. Thanks for calling in.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There are a lot of good reasons to cut tax rates, and they go far beyond the political benefits to those who advocate for them. All taxes distort behavior to some degree, causing businesses and households to buy less, invest less, hire less, and produce less. Lowering tax rates reduces those distortions, which is good. But cutting tax rates almost always results in less tax revenue, especially for broad-based taxes like income or sales taxes. It's surprising to me to find many who push back on this. Yet the experience of Montana's personal income tax rate changes in the last 2 years shows this quite clearly. For each of the last two fiscal years, the most recent of which ended last June, Montana's personal income tax receipts have been stagnant, actually falling by almost 6% in fiscal year 23. This compares to double-digit percentage growth in the previous 2 years. There are plenty of reasons beyond tax rate changes, but there's little doubt that cutting the rate of the highest tax bracket played an important role in causing this outcome. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.